Hello, everyone. I'm Kevin Winder, and thanks for tuning in to another podcast of Beyond Everything Radio. And as always, I have a question for you. Are your friends more like frenemies than true friends? Why is finding a real friend so hard these days? In today's podcast and post, we continue our series entitled The Way for Young Adults with a look at friendship. We'll discuss how friendship is a skill, and I'll offer some tools to help you make lasting friends. Join me now as we discover that a friendship reflects what is going on the inside of a person and why self-awareness and wisdom open the door to great friendships. Hello, everybody, and thank you so much for coming back to yet another podcast of Beyond Everything Radio. I am your host. My name is Kevin Winder, and I like to serve the world as an online pastor, author, and uncoach, among many other things I do in the world, just like you. Welcome to yet another one. And folks, we are at podcast number 503. And of course, I'm in the middle of a series because that's all I do for the most part. Everything's a series because this is long form content. It's information that builds upon each layer. That way, when you come back, you actually learn something instead of just an emotional hit from something you agree with for a second and then forget about. So this is how we transform our lives. This is why when you come and you tune in here, the result is that you have a better life. You grow, you mature, you change for the better over the months and years to come. I guarantee it. This isn't entertainment. It's not clickbait. It doesn't, scratch that itch. It doesn't talk about politics. It's not going to get you to pick sides and hate half the world. This is a place for you to kind of come to terms with the reality. And the series that we're in right now for young people, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for sending it to young people that you know. Thank you for having your friends listen together. My open rates have grown substantially with this, so I appreciate the fact that other young people are resonating with it, and older adults too. So thank you for your feedback. Today we are in part 5 of this series, The Way for Young Adults. It is podcast number 503, and I call it Finding Friends. And so let's just get started. Today is just going to be kind of just tidbits. It's perspective. It's the outline. I could have done the 5 F's of friendship. But I respect you more than that. And I think there's nuggets in here that I think will help you. And I want you to really look at your friendships. I want you to look at yourself at the end of this. Really take an inventory. I had to do this a while back where I realized almost all the friendships I had were maintained by me. Like I had all these great friends, but then I was like, I wonder if I stopped calling people, talking to people, meeting with them, asking them to lunch, how many of them would call me back and ask how I'm doing? And out of at least 10 or more that I was engaged with, I went dark for like 2 months, maybe 3 months, and literally 2 friends called me. So like that's a wake-up call. And I want you to have something similar. I want you to think through your friendships, okay? Because friendships are a wonderful gift in life. I consider myself a very rich man, not because of my money, but because I have so many good friends. And finding and making friends is a skill. And as you know, if you've been a part of this series, that means that it's a derivative of wisdom, because wisdom is a skill. You see, not all friendships are beneficial to us, and the wrong friends can ruin our lives. So like if you do a self-assessment and you're like, that person isn't actually being a friend to me, then why would you give your calories and time to that friendship? Why is it so hard to find good friends? Well, it might be that we are being a bad friend. It might be that we don't know the difference between a good friend and a bad friend. So how can we find and maintain healthy friendships? That's the goal of our time today. And I'm just going to start by saying that friendship is it's a form of intimate community. Now, it doesn't mean sexual intimacy. I'm saying intimate, meaning that you're close in proximity. A person knows you. They get you. They understand you. When you make a comment, they don't judge you because they get the whole person, right? That's a friend. And it's a byproduct. Friendship is the byproduct of people going in the same direction. Right? Now you can make friendships work if you are not going in the same direction, but man, is that hard to do? It doesn't mean you can't have friends that have very different perspectives, though. You certainly can. But in terms of your life trajectory, are you going in the same direction? It's really important. And so I kind of break friendships up into three categories of friends. Maybe you agree with this. The first one is kind of the superficial, the acquaintance. Acquaintances are friendships derived from the intersection of various spheres in our life. So like when we meet people at school or work or church or at our sporting events, our hobbies, our outings, wherever these spheres overlap, we start to gain familiarity with each other. Oh yeah, that person's in my civics class. That person goes to, my church. And so, like, you kind of get to know each other a little bit more than you would as a complete stranger. But you're still kind of on the superficial level. There's familiarity, but it's superficial. And so we make assumptions about these people. So these are not people you've really taken the time to get to know really well. And so you make assumptions about them. Yeah, that kind of person's kind of weird. Or that person's kind of, flaky. Or, they do this kind of thing or that kind of thing. And it may only result from, you might make that assumption based on one event because you just don't have that much to deal. And I think a lot of this happens like in school and big, dense populations where people are saying all kinds of things about other people. But they're just assumptions because they don't have depth of knowledge. So be careful about acquaintances and assuming things to be true about another person when it may not be true. The second level of friendship is what I'll call circumstantial. These are the friendships that are derived from sharing certain circumstances. So these are friendships that grow deeper in familiarity due to shared life events. So whereas you might have an acquaintance who's in your math class, you might have a circumstantial friend who is in your math class and sits next to you every single day and is part of your group project. So these are friendships that you get more familiar with. A college roommate. You're going to spend the next year or 2 years or 4 years with this person in your room. A military group. You're going to be in the trenches with your squadron. Co-workers who you're going to be on the same sales team with, or sports where you're all part of the same team, clubs, church members, all this stuff. These are definitely deeper relationships, but they may not be deep enough to kind of last beyond the circumstance. So for example, while you might have a good friend who's your college roommate, I still have lost touch with many of my college roommates. I only see them occasionally on Facebook. And if they come to town, I might get with them, but I don't communicate with them as much as I did in college because the circumstances have changed. Right? But if they picked up the phone, I would love a conversation. You see how that works? The third category then is your lifer. Lifer friendships, as I call them, are the ones that last throughout life. These are a few. Like, you don't have a bunch of these, and there's a reason for that. A lifer friendship means that both parties continually build connections to each other by desiring to stay connected. And even if it's infrequently, there's both the desire on both parties to do so. So like I mentioned my story at the beginning, I have a bunch of friends for whom if I don't pick up the phone, I don't have them as a friend. Like they literally will just drop off the face of the earth. And I've had friends that I've had to let drop off the face of the earth because for whatever reason, they just can't pick up the phone. But whenever we do get together, it's great. They're communicative. They're friendly. They enjoy it. But then for some reason, they can't put themselves out there. And so this is what a lifer is. A lifer will be the one who keeps calling you. If you go dark, they're like, hey, man, I haven't heard from you. What's going on? Like, that's how you know. It's two-sided. And these are the people with whom we share deep trust. We can share our biggest weaknesses. You can tell your darkest sin to this friend, and they won't judge you. They won't condemn you. They won't walk away from you or leave you. You can share your failures, your deepest worries. These are the things where if you share your accomplishments, they're going to celebrate them with you. They're going to know that what that meant. I'll give you an example. I shared with one of my friends, I drove through the tunnel 4 times in 2 weekends. And all of you listening to me are like, big deal, you drove through a tunnel. Well, if you knew that like I had this anxiety issue for years and the Eisenhower tunnel freaked me out and I haven't driven through it for 7 years. But then I told you, I went through it 4 times. Like, and I was so happy I drove through the tunnel. Like I got over myself, right? A true friend, a lifer is going to know that that's a big deal for me. Others who don't really know me are going to be like, what's the big deal? Do you see that? That's the difference. It's two-sided. You can share everything with them and they get it. They get the whole story. They know your backstory. Acquaintances, circumstantial friends, and lifers. And it's kind of a flow. Like you can turn an acquaintance into a lifer and a circumstantial into a lifer and a lifer into acquaintance. Like it goes all the time. Why? Because friendship is like walking together through the airport when one of those moving sidewalks comes along. And one of you gets on the little horizontal escalator that doesn't escalate. I call it the lazy sidewalk because when people just park on there, I'm like, what? Anyway, different subject. But just imagine you and your friend are walking through the airport and one of you gets on that. And gradually space is created between you two. See, an acquaintance will just surrender the separation. They're like, oh, there you go. A circumstantial friend will temporarily try and close the gap. Like, well, I'm going to just kind of jog alongside you while you're on here until we get to the gate. But if this happens on the way back, like, you're on your own. But the difference is that a lifer is going to adjust their speed in order to walk together. So while one might want to start jogging to keep up, the other will start walking a little bit slower or backwards to maintain pace with the other. So there's a mutual accommodation. And that's why lifers are rare, because we can't adapt to too many people very well. And if you've got, you know, you have all these friends in college and you start out and then all of a sudden somebody gets married and then they have kids. And you're like, well, we used to be these close friends. Well, that's because you can't adapt to too many people. And if you're married and you have children, you are adapting. You are a lifer to those people. And so, you know, the other friendships get kind of marginalized, but it doesn't mean necessarily that something's broken. It's just these are the way these commitments are required of us. Now I'm going to read to you a couple of passages from Proverbs because they're so good. And they speak about friendship. And most of the series is coming out of the book of Proverbs. And so Proverbs 16:28, a dishonest person spreads strife and a whisperer separates close friends. Man, how many of you live in an environment like that? I mean, the whole Twitter sphere or whatever, the scroll sphere, it's full of just lies and people whispering, separating their close friends, the gossip, the backbiting, the talking behind someone's back. You know, a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity. It's saying like a friend can be so much closer to you than even your own brother. Proverbs 17:17, or Proverbs 22:24 that says, make no friendship with a person given to anger, nor go with a wrathful person. In other words, don't spend your time with people who are constantly yielding to their own anger and wrath. It means they don't have a good handle on what's going on inside them. They're not good friends. Proverbs 27:6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, and profuse are the kisses of an enemy. You know, you got these relationships today where, like, if a person gets insulted, if a person doesn't share your political party, you will literally disown them. They will not be their friend. They will come back, you know, and I don't understand this. But it's the world we live in. You know, like, if they're to kiss you and agree with you, then this is saying that's probably more of an enemy. A faithful friend is going to wound you. They're going to pick that scab off of you. They're going to point out the flaw that you can't see in yourself. They're going to remove the plank in your eye for you because they can see it, but you can't. The Bible is so full of this good wisdom, folks. And I share these proverbs because we can hear the echo of wisdom in here. And wisdom is what we need. Wisdom is the skill to use the knowledge we possess. And friendship is a skill, right? Wisdom admonishes us to be self-aware, to just don't repeat things shared in confidence. Like, do you do that? Does Sally say, hey, don't tell anybody this, but here's a secret. And then you're like, oh my gosh, I can't not, you know, hey, June, guess what? Sally shared this thing with me. Don't tell anybody that I told you. Like, if you can't keep it in confidence, you're not being a friend. The scripture teaches us, it teaches us to withhold judgment and harshness. Like, how often do you make a comment and you're judged and you're criticized and there's harshness? Those aren't friends. Friendships can be closer than our own family. They always say blood is thicker than water, but that is not true. A friend can love you more than a very dysfunctional family can love you. Scripture teaches us to avoid making friends with the wrong person and to receive correction when it comes from a trusted friend. Like, I have friends that if they call me up and they said, Kev, you're jacking up your life, stop it, I would listen and I would change. See, our world knows very little about this, doesn't it? Your experience might prove that, man, the world we live in, they kind of suck. You know, it doesn't know much about friendships, and it treats the world like frenemies. Like, oh, we get along, but really we're just competing with each other. It treats each other like we're on a reality show and we're trying to actually win. Like, you want to actually beat out your friend. You actually want to be better than your friend. You don't really want to become found. A friendship is a place where you become found. A friendship is a safe place for you to heal, to lose yourself and be found, not to win. And so I've listed what I've called some relationship cancers or friendship cancers. I've got six of them right here. The first one is jealousy. The first thing is that you will never be jealous of a true friend. And if you have a true friend, they will never be jealous of you. You will celebrate every good thing that comes into their life. It will not cause you self-pity, like, oh, I'm so happy for you that you got that new job with all that big pay and I'm still sitting here suffering, not hired. Like, if you can't be happy for your friend because of jealousy or envy, you are not a friend. Number two, imbalance. This is when only one party accommodates the other. This is the friend who only makes the calls. It's all outbound calls. This is the friend that the person who's always, yes, whatever you want, is just agreeable all the time. That's a relationship cancer. The third one, insecurity. Folks, true friendship vaporizes insecurity. You will not feel insecure around a true friend. A true friend accepts you for who you are. They know who you are. There's nothing to be insecure about. There's no fear that something will come out. If you're in a friendship and you're afraid this person is going to find something out about you, so you keep it a secret, you are not in a friendship. Okay? And number four, manipulation. If one party has to use like emotional blackmail, if they have to use guilt or pressure, your friendship is on life support, man. Like, that's not a real friend. Be careful. You may not want these people. These could just be people who are sick and need to get healed, and the friendship could be better. Or these could be people who are truly broken and incapable of having a friend. So when you see manipulation, jealousy, imbalance, insecurity, be careful. And number five, here's competition, right? There are friendly competitions in friendships. That's not uncommon. But if either party wants to win more than they want the friendship, then be very, very careful. A person who wants to win more than they want to be a friend, a person who won't let the other friend win, is not a friend. Gossip is the last one. If either party talks about their friend behind their back or says negative things, there isn't a real friendship there. Gossip is not a building block of friend. These are all cancers. So if you see any of those six things, jealousy, imbalance, insecurity, manipulation, competition, gossip, if you see any of that, ask yourself, do I have a real friend? I know I've known them a long time. We've done a lot of things together. We talk every day, but I see four out of those six things all the time. You may not have a friend. Now, here are three life hacks to find and develop friends, okay? Here you go. First one, identify, okay? Identify, meaning find those in your sphere of life who are going in a similar direction. Don't find somebody in your sphere of life in whom you want to go in their direction. You need to know where you are going and find others who are also going there, who have similar interests, hobbies, goals, etc. And be very, very careful of friends that you find on social media. A lot of them are illusory. When you have so many friends, those aren't real friends, okay? Those are digital signatures that say they follow you. A subscriber, a follower, a liker is not a friend, okay? So be very, very careful. Social media can obscure what's really, really there. And number two, invest. Be willing to put yourself out there. This isn't a time to be shy. Don't just say, I'm shy, and then just wait for somebody to come and make the whole thing work. It's not going to happen. You have to identify people who are going in the same direction and then invest. Throw yourself out there. Be deliberate and intentional. Once you find an acquaintance whom you like, here's the secret. First, focus your attention on them. Ask questions that will help you get to know them better. You might discover this is not somebody I actually want a friendship with. And they share their answers. You know, you'd be willing to share your experiences too. Whether your experience is different or similar. If they say, yeah, I'm a Democrat, and you're like, wow, I'm a Republican. And you share that and it like offends them so much they can't be your friend. Or you're hiding it because you don't want them to find out because you're afraid they won't be your friend. Then you're not on the path to friendship at all. There's no point. You see, ask questions, learn who they are, be willing to share who you are. And if it doesn't line up, it doesn't line up. Move on. Pay attention to how they engage with you. If your effort is reciprocated, then invest a little bit more. If ignored or it's lost on them, if they don't care that you noticed them, they may not be able or even ready to be a friend. So move on. You see, and this goes the other way. So if you're sitting there and someone takes an interest in you, pay attention to them, right? Focus on the other person. Learn about them. Hear their story. All of that is really, really important in the early phases. And that gets us to the step three, and that is go there. So first identify, then invest, and then three, go there. What does that mean? It means once trust is established, don't be afraid to go there. Ask the hard questions. Go to the deep dimension. Ask their opinion, their perspectives, and learn what makes them tick. As they disclose, pay attention not to them now. I mean, you will pay attention to them, but now pay attention to yourself. Don't just agree with them because you want them to like you. If you disagree, don't be contentious. It's like, oh, you know, I see that totally differently. That's interesting. Sometime we'll have to talk more about that. Like, that's all you have to say. Like, you can keep your opinion to yourself until they ask for it. But when they do ask for it, be honest. If they can't be your friend because you disagree, they can't be a true friend. If this person entrusts you with something about themselves, then keep it in confidence and tell them you appreciate that, because that shows respect and it shows that they respect you and trust you. They're trying to be a friend to you. Will you be a friend back to them? You see how this works? It's reciprocal. It's a two-way street. You see, finding and developing friendship is first an inside job. That is that it's inside of us. Friendship is that blossom on the plant, which is rooted in ourself. If we don't heal our own insecurities and our own fears and our own wounds, all of that stuff just grows outward into our human connections. We have to first know what a true friend is and how to be a true friend, and then we can have a true friend. Once we develop that skill, folks, our friendships will grow tremendously, both in depth and breadth, and they will be healthy. And see, my approach to friendships is, like I've shared with you a little bit, is that I'm open to being a friend to anyone who comes into my sphere. Every stranger is a friend I haven't met yet. I literally think like that. Now, out of these, I endeavor to get to know them. And I'm not much for small talk. I tend to go to the deep end of the pool in a very short amount of time. And if a person can't swim there, I generally don't spend a lot of time with them until they're ready to go there. I reciprocate with an equal amount of interest and attention to the person around me. And so as friendships fade out, I'll reach out a few times and say, hey, you want to connect? You want to get together? I'll try and keep it going. I'll put the paddles on and get clear, you know, whatever I got to do to keep the friendship going. But man, if there's not a much engagement, I just let the space remain until they're ready to engage. I can't chase, and I don't chase, and I won't. I let the friendship establish the rhythm and depth of that friendship. And I've got friendships that people I can go to the deep end of the pool, and we don't connect that often, and it's okay. And I've had people that we've really shared life together who can barely pick up the phone if I call. So I go as deep with anybody who will go deep with me. And I will match them stride for stride if they will match me stride for stride. No more, no less. And I rarely ever burn a bridge. I never like take somebody who maybe we disagreed or whatever and then I cut them off. It's almost never do I do that. And as a result, my life is full of very good friends whom I can just pick up the conversation, even if it's been a few years. If I need anything, they're there for me. If they need anything, I'm there for them when they're ready. But I don't wait around for them either. Life is not on hold because people aren't calling me. If friendship cancers occur, I bring it up and I say, hey, man, we need to fix this. I notice you're being really competitive with me. I don't like that. If the person responds and we change, then great. If it's toxic, I'm out. It's that simple. I just back off. See, folks, I hope you're hearing through all of this. There's the way that it applies. It doesn't cost me that much to build acquaintances and go deeper. But then at some points, it's going to cost me a lot. And if a person is willing to empty themselves to be a friend, I will be that friend. And here's the last little nugget I'm going to leave you with. Know when to end a friendship, or at least create a healthy distance. See, if a friend begins to self-destruct, if you have a friend and they become foolish, if they reject wisdom, if they turn on all that is good, do what you can to keep them from the cliff. But if they insist on doing drugs, on drinking themselves into oblivion, on ignoring the wisdom, and they refuse to get help, do not go with them. These are friends you must leave to their own despair. Create the necessary distance and let them go. This is a painful thing, and it will happen in life at some point. So be ready for it, and be ready to move on beyond it. Just never enable a friend to their ruin. Like, if they want to ruin their life, that's fine. You can let them ruin their life, but they're not going to ruin their life and take you with them. They're not going to ruin their life and have this friendship. Like, they have to value you and the friendship enough to take care of themselves. That's holding the other person to an account. I think it's a really important part of a friendship. And I see that it's missing. People think that a friendship will just, if their friend goes down the hole, they're going to just go and be right there with them every time. And they just become manipulated and used. You see, I hope these tidbits about friendships prevent you from heartache. And I hope you have companions with whom you can sojourn through your life. I hope you get a lot of lifers, because it makes you a rich person. A friend is a person with whom all of your burdens are cut in half and all of your joys are multiplied. I think one of the great sayings goes. And remember, we all have a genuine friend in Christ. Proverbs 18 says a man has many companions and they may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. John 15, Jesus is talking to his disciples and he says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. No longer do I call you servants. I've called you friends. So folks, if you're one of those people who feel like you have no friends, that is simply not true. We all have a friend in Christ. We all have a friend in God who sticks closer than a brother, closer than a sister. And so we always have that, no matter what. And then the rest of life, we sojourn, is a skill that we have to learn, and we have to practice, and we have to apply. And I hope that serves you as you go about making friends. And God bless you as you contemplate these things.